We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think Gronk's going to take a break for a while. I don't think he's going to...
Like a whole while?
I don't think he's initially going to start off and come back. I think he's going to figure it out. And this is just my own assessment. Later on, deep in the season, he could possibly come back and play.
I want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying. You're saying that you don't expect Rob Gronkowski to go to camp?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to start off the season by being retired. And I think he's going to get the itch. I think he's going to be in great shape. And he's going to probably have that feeling that, hey, I want to come back.
All right, that was Willie McGinnis yesterday on the NFL Network, putting a scenario out to where this is not an agreement between the two. Meaning the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Oh, the Patriots and Rob Gronkowski. What he's proposing is that Gronk actually does retire and then misses the game. Has that itch. And just makes a call and decides and says, you know what? Now I'm ready. Which I find extremely hard to believe. I know you had some thoughts on that, but let's take a call real quick. By the way, OMF, no Ordway. You got the MFers here.
They're the tough guys.
Yeah, tough guys. No, that's the guy that doesn't. You don't take 2 days off because of the sniffles.
I have a runny nose.
Yeah, give us a call.
61 some soup.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Jim in Warwick on what Willie had to say yesterday. Jim, go ahead.
What's up, fellas? How
What's
you guys
happening?
Doing?
Good, buddy.
Let me tell you something. The flow of your conversation today is just so great. I don't know what it is, but you guys, it's like a chemistry there.
It's weird,
you know,
right?
It's strange, ain't it?
It's just amazing.
Thank you.
I get that. Hold on. Excuse me.
So I was thinking the same thing, that maybe Gronk would come back and kind of like a pitch count, or maybe like, you know, they used to bring Clemens back right before the playoffs for that playoff push, that veteran that would come back and kind of get you over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that check would even entertain what the chances are of that.
No, so I'd say he'd, you got to be in the building. I think this is a situation where you got to be in the building. Maybe you don't practice, but you can't show up week one. That to me is just a bad message.
Like week eight.
Yeah, that'd be even worse.
Throw him in bubble.
I mean, listen, I guess...
come out and dominate.
Yeah, I guess it's... I mean, it's just not that easy just to just jump into it and just be productive. There's your workout legs, and then there's your football legs. Guys can be in great shape. They can pass every test, and they go out there. It's crazy. They go out there, and they start playing football after training the entire summer. And you know what they do? Pull hamstrings, pull back. A groin, pull a calf.
Whoa.
They're back.
12, man, you got to get some water.
I broke my knee, man.
It's not a hydration problem.
Got to hydrate. Thanks, Jim. What Willie suggested is different than what a lot of people have suggested, that maybe there's some more built-in bye weeks. You know, maybe it's, for play the first couple weeks, bye week. Maybe the bye week is week six. So you play week four, week five, bye week. Play week seven, week eight, week nine, week 10, give him a bye. You know, any kind of nick and bruise, whatever. He's not playing. You could justify $9 million. And play the guy 12 games, right? But that's different than what Willie suggested. So the boys this afternoon, Dale and Keefe, they had Willie McGinnis
Whiskers,
on.
Because I'm curious like a cat.
And trying to kind of clear up maybe the story, but like as you pointed out, Christian, it sounded more like a guy that was maybe caught and wanted to kind of walk some things back, I guess.
Well, it's just a feeling. I've talked to people, but, there's nothing.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
On.
Okay. So, this is the first sign that Willie is like, uh-oh, how do I fix this?
So they asked him off the top about his report yesterday. And the first thing he says was, that's just a feeling. But I've talked to people.
It's just a feeling. I've talked to people.
I know, right off the bat. I was like, wow, that sounds familiar.
So which is it?
So everybody has...
is it an opinion?
Well, it's
or have
both.
You talked to people?
It's both. Can it be both? Because I feel like it's both.
It's just a feeling. I've talked to people.
So he basically what he does, because whoever he's talking to is not giving him a definitive answer, but he's leading him down the road that ultimately gave Willie that feeling. So he talks to some people, mm-hmm. what's going on with Gronk? What's going on with this? What'd you hear? Okay, because and it's only a reliable source, somebody who's close to Gronk. It's not 6 degrees
right.
of Gronk.
So right out of the gate, it kind of sounds like he's... All right, let's hear more. What do you say?
But, you know, there's nothing concrete about Rob's decision. I think that anytime you go through a grueling season, a physical season, a long season for that matter, which, you know, going to the Super Bowl and winning and, you know, and you playing in the trenches, man, you contemplate a lot of different things. You know, he's done a lot. He's a multi-champion. When guys tackle him, you know, what they do. They go at his legs, his knees. It's physical. They gang tackle. It's a physical sport, especially for his position. He did a lot of blocking in the midst of this season. So conversations kind of go back and forth, and thoughts go back and forth with players like that. And, you know, me just being around and talking and seeing it, it's like, I just think he's not again.
Wait a second. He did it twice. He did it twice.
So what answer,
okay,
Willie?
Because
me
here's what
being
he did.
Around and
here's,
talking.
He started digging himself into a hole from the very beginning. He tried to save himself, and then he went back to, you keep hearing hints of him talking to people. This is a feeling based on reconnaissance.
You know, me just being around and talking and seeing it, it's like, I just think he's not going to make a quick decision on coming back. I think he's going to take a lot of time.
Okay, stop again. That's obvious, though. I mean, we all know that. Okay, so he's talking to
six weeks.
You don't need to talk to anybody to know that he's going to take some time.
It's just a feeling. I've talked to people.
Right, but he has more information.
Let me ask you, okay? You were in the Super Bowl 03-04.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so... When you have a long season, longer than most, when you were in Seattle, you didn't have that long of a season.
Thank you.
Or your first year in New England when you took over for Wiggy.
That's right.
You
That's
didn't
right.
have that long of a season.
God dog, okay? That's all right. That's okay.
So first, February 4th, because I know, because in baseball, for me, it was always 6 weeks. Season was over. 6 weeks to kind of something's bothering you. You let your body heal. And then 6 weeks, I would, you know, mid-November, then you're back. You know, you're in the gym, you're hitting it kind of hard to get ready for the first of the year, which is 6 weeks until spring training, which is 6 weeks. So it was 6 weeks rest, 6 weeks workout, 6 weeks get after it, and then spring training. So after about 6 weeks, I was like, okay, I'm getting back into it again. And that's when I found out, like, you know, later in my career, as you know, when you get older, when you start to get back into it again and your heart's not in it, you're like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to work out as hard as I did to prepare
or it just
for
takes,
the year anymore.
You feel worse once you start in year 10 than I guess.
Yeah.
My first offseason in the league, I was working out 2 weeks.
After the season?
After the season. I was like running, and I was like, this is because I felt great.
Yeah.
I had no issues. My 12th year?
You go away, you just chill.
My offseason, before I started, got longer and longer. And it took, and I had to really work to convince myself to get my butt on the turf and physically run.
I want to be fat. Yeah.
Those guys right now, they're already working out. I see them every morning.
Well, see, that's my question. So it's been 6 weeks since the Super Bowl. For you, when you won the Super Bowl, you're towards the end of your career, right?
Yes.
You're getting older. When did you get back into it?
Lazy Christian Fourier here.
It depends. What, are we talking lazy Christian Fourier or, you know, thugged out, hardcore,
I'm talking
taking no prisoners?
After 04. After 03, you win your first Super Bowl, or maybe even after 04 because you learn the year before you already had this sort of type of an offseason. So after 04, you're going to come back and play in 05.
I am a knight.
When did you get back into it and say, okay, yeah,
I'd say about 4 weeks. About 4 weeks because I was still into it. I was still ready to go.
So
4 weeks, but we're talking fluff. We're talking, you know, executive workouts,
king of jungle,
treadmill, walking,
stalking,
getting into the steam room, curls, triceps,
wait, stuff like that.
That's called the executive workout.
This sounds like lazy Christian.
That's week one. That's
you're telling me
it's
football.
Wait, hold on.
Phase one.
So 4 weeks. You're after the season when you started to get ready for the following year. 4 weeks after when you said, okay, now it's time to get back in. But you're telling me you sat in a hot tub and you walked on a treadmill.
Yeah. It's called phase one, Lee.
That's phase one for my dad, who's 80 years old.
Well, okay.
What are you talking about?
Phase one.
That's what he's doing right now to get ready for golf.
Don't mock phase one. Phase one is, okay, listen, hey, snap out of it.
It's go for
to get
a
back
walk.
To work. Walking, curls. Everything's really light. steam room, maybe a little sauna. Some guys prefer the hot heat.
Not a lot of crabs at the shuffleboard court either.
Then, yes, exactly. Maybe some hopscotch. It all depends on, you know, where I'm at the time.
Dinner by 2:30.
But week three, then you ramp it up a little bit more.
You jog on the treadmill?
You jog. Yes. I don't even know where you what the hell you asked me, to be honest with you.
My question is, he's now basically 6 weeks after the Super Bowl, essentially. He's back into it. And he knows.
Well, we already know. Glenn confirmed that he's TB12 every day.
So he knows.
Not necessarily. Because here's the second part. Okay, here's the second part.
But after a month of it, you're like, I can't. I'm not into it like I once was.
No. Because the second part, the more I'm convinced that I was right back on Super Bowl Sunday, that Willie has got some information that he could be right. But the whole coming back thing, I think he added that part. Because I think once you're out, you're out. You're not coming back week 10, week 8. That's not happening. All those guys are, you know, they have their roles and they're not going to let it go. The second part, this is towards the end of the interview. Okay, so the end of the interview, I forget, what did they even ask him, Ryan? What was the last question?
Oh, they talk about him, the scenario he played out as far as Rob Gronkowski holding out for most of the year.
Do you think Bill
would be okay?
Would be okay with this?
I think Bill understands Rob. I think he understands, you know, what he's been through. I mean, it's tough to say, hey, go ahead and sit out games and not be available. I know Bill. You know, he wants everybody to be accountable. He wants everybody to be there working or whatever. But
so the answer is yes. He thinks Bill will be okay with it. Yeah, Bill will be okay with it. He understands Gronk.
Bill understands Rob.
Okay, so he'll be okay with it. Because so that's that.
He said that.
Then, later on, so it seems like, you know, Willie keeps kind of like chasing his tail a little bit. And then at the end, because this is one long, what is it? That must have been at least a 2-minute answer.
Yeah, about a minute and a half.
It's like an old question.
So at the end, he does what he did after the first question.
You're in a certain position to do certain things. And I'm not saying, you know, Belichick is going to allow anything like that to happen. I'm just saying there's certain scenarios where you got to work things out with certain players.
Okay, so at first, yeah, he'll be okay with it.
Because he knows Gronk.
And then, well, I don't know. I don't know. Why are you asking me? I don't know.
I'm not saying he'll be okay with it.
It's just a feeling.
Yeah, I think it seems like he kept catching himself and didn't want to give away too much. So first, Bill would be okay with it, then he wouldn't be okay with it because he's talked to some folks. So what is it? So based on all this information you have now, what is your assessment of what Gronk will do? Either he retires or he comes back. There's no middle ground. There's no, you know, you got a cannonball your way into the season. What is it? I mean, you have
point,
all this
I wish
information.
I knew.
You have two ex-players giving
Get
you
all the chicks
information.
Wet.
Giving you, which... I had information. I threw it out there. I know Willie, he admitted that he talked to some folks, even though he's saying it's a feeling.
I actually like the theory that Rob Gronkowski, what we heard from Tommy Karin last night, that Rob Gronkowski might be waiting to see who the Patriots pick up.
Okay, so.
To maybe take a little bit of load off of him. Maybe actually a tight end that can catch the ball. Maybe another wide receiver. They missed out on Humphreys. I don't think Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris, two guys that are in Foxborough, is going to get it done. They've re-signed Philip Dorsett. According to Rap, they're in on Golden Tate. We'll see how that goes. We're going to keep an eye on Golden Tate. But right now, the Patriots, it's a kind of a typical free agent period for the New England Patriots. 617-779-7937. It's OMF. There's no Ordway. A typical offseason free agency for the Patriots. Are you okay with it, Patriot fans? Have they just been so successful that you don't even want any excitement at free agency? Because I kind of do. We'll talk about it when we come back right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I know, it's all going to be based on how this game ends. If this game ends
where it's a win, I think there's a 90% chance that he's gone and we don't ever see him again. I think the only person that convinces him to stay is Tom. One more year.
Mm. Is it Tom?
So basically, before we took a break, it was, okay, stipulation. There's going to be something else that nobody's talking about. And you hear, all we're doing right now is getting all these hints. We're getting all these messages. You just have to pay attention to them if you want to really feel and find out what the answer is.
Break it down then. Tell me, what is it?
Well, that's what it is. Willie's talking about it. He's talked to everyone. So Willie's basically saying the same thing I'm saying. But he thinks, this is his feeling, this is his own personal opinion.
You both don't want to give up too much, so you get confused.
Yeah, you confuse yourself. You see, neither one of us should be on the stand ever. Because you're trying to lie. You're trying to give some information, but not give anybody up.
I'm still trying to comprehend your phase one of the offseason, which includes walking and sitting in a hot tub.
You see, you're not giving it phase one enough credit.
I
see,
plead
phase
the
one
fifth.
Is very important because imagine you just finished a whole season. You've been sitting around drinking a lot, going on vacation. Who knows what the hell you've been doing? So you've had no activity, none, zero. Maybe you've been rehabbing. So phase one needs to be a baby step process. What was your phase one in baseball? What were you doing?
I go to the gym.
What, you just hold the bat?
No.
I'm going to hold the bat for an hour.
I would
walk in my cleats.
I would take, again, it's mid-November, because January 1, you go out to Arizona, go to Athletes Performance, which is now Access. A lot of the guys, Xander, all those guys go out there. And I would take that routine, just less intense, and I would do it for 6 weeks before. It's just that I don't have some crazy nut job trainer over my ear screaming at me while I'm doing it. It's very intense. So phase one to me was to basically do that, just less stressful. Not that eye on me. I would do some of the things that I know that I got to be ready to do when
so
I get
that
there.
Was so phase one
but it wasn't
me,
walking.
Was
and sitting in a hot tub.
Okay,
I would just sit there.
That was the first week of phase one. See,
it's like phase one for me is like golf.
Phase one, that's part of it. You're active. I don't take a cart.
That was 6
I'm
weeks.
I'm walking.
When the season was over.
Good for you.
Honestly, I was single a lot in my off seasons. For 6 weeks, I would play golf 5 days a week.
Yeah.
That's phase one, I guess.
So would I. Okay, so again, so we're on the... So phase one, as opposed to going to some training facility. Hold on, okay? So, because there's three phases. Three phases. Phase two is obviously a lot different. It's a lot more aggressive, longer days. And phase three is
psychotic.
Well,
Patriots start phase three.
So phase one is basically you would go to 24-hour fitness for phase one, right? There's no schedule. There's no time frame. You're doing some curls, you're doing some stuff, you're checking out the atmosphere and the environment. You know, I used to work at a place called Frogs
phase three in
Del Mar, California. And it was at Frogs, it was nothing but eye candy. You didn't go there really to work out. This is how easy phase one was for me. I would go on the recumbent bike. Mm-hmm. Basically, you sit down and pedal. You know, really, nobody breaks a sweat. It's called the executive workout, which consists of walking, playing golf, hot tubs, steam room, sauna. Got to burn out all the lactic acid, and then you start working out. So Gronk is not even in phase one right now. Gronk's in Cabo. He's stretching. It's easy. If you make it to phase three, then you know you're ready to go.
Hey, ma'am, how's that grill?
So let me ask you this.
Don't hate on phase one because I know you had a phase one too.
I did. It was golf.
It was just different. Okay, I played golf also.
Yeah, but phase one in the gym is
What phase one is.
Lifting. Okay. All right. So I want to go back to real quick Julian Edelman because I just saw this real quick. How do you feel if you're Julian Edelman when you know that the Patriots went back to Adam Humphries and tried to raise that offer from that 436 that he got from Tennessee? You went back to him the last minute and offered him 440. Adam Humphries, 5'11", 195, 26-year-old slot receiver. So we talked about that earlier in the show. We know that that's out there. We've heard that from people in Tennessee. How about if I told you this? I just saw this.
His twin?
Mike, I saw a tweet. There's another one here. But Mike Rodak, who covers the Buffalo Bills. Apparently, Beasley's up there right now, introductory press conference. So Cole Beasley, slot receiver from the Cowboys, who signed 4 years, $29 million, got $10.7 guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Apparently told the media up there that there were many teams interested in him at first, but his final decision came down to the Bills, the Cowboys, and the Patriots. Mm. So
they lost another guy. That's two guys they've lost. Two white guys.
So
wow, they need to stop. They need to throw something. They need to sign Golden Tate.
No, but okay.
I know that's not where you're going because you're looking at the money, and I agree with you.
So
go ahead and finish.
You miss out on Cole Beasley. I don't know who was first. Then you go back to try to get Humphreys, who agreed to go
Beasley,
to Tennessee.
Beasley, for the record, Beasley and Edelman have the same number, so that never would have worked out.
Two slot guys, the two best slot receivers as free agents.
Yeah.
Okay, and two very good slot receivers. The best receiver you have is a slot receiver. So if you're Julian Edelman, what are you thinking right now?
God damn it!
They're trying to really replace me, obviously.
But he's still got 1 year left.
He's got 1 year left on his contract. They're not going to re-sign him. And if they do re-sign him, it's going to be for such cheap money that he'll probably do what Wes Welker did or what Amendola did. That may be the best case scenario for him as being a free agent. So he can get a 1 year deal with some team or some coach that likes him and respects him and is going to give him $4 million. If Patterson's getting 10 and 2, if Amendola's getting 4.5 for 1, Beasley's getting 29 for 4, Humphreys is getting what? 36 for 4? You want to? Here's what's really a kick in the, you know what? Kick in the ding ding.
I don't even know what I just said.
When you look at Julian Edelman and the amount of money he's made in his career, how unbelievably bad timing he has had, $26 million in his career. And you think about what he's accomplished and what he's known for. We were sitting here talking about him for the Hall of Frickin' Fame. At least I was for a hot minute, but then I cooled on that. But still, $26 million. And Humphreys is making $36 million in 4 years. So Humphreys, in 4 years, will make more money, $10 million more than Edelman did in the first 10 years of his career. Now, granted, he didn't make anything in his first 4 years because he was such a late draft pick. He really didn't start making real money till like year four. But again, the timing, the team you're on, your willingness to stay. They did allow him to go out 1 year and go try and make more money. Nobody did it.
Right.
Nobody gave it to him. But now they're giving Beasley this type of money. They're giving
Beasley, 429. Adam Humphreys, 414.
Who's a better player?
Julian Edelman, whose base salary is $2 million and can make another $850 in bonuses.
They shouldn't be surprised because Amendola was brought in to take over for Welker. Edelman just ended up doing it for him. Because remember, Amendola got hurt that first game, had all these catches, ended up pulling his groin really bad. I think it was against Buffalo on the road. We're like, wow, this guy's pretty good. He's athletic. He'll go after the ball, doesn't mind getting hit. And then sure enough, he's gone, and Edelman just runs away with it. And he becomes the most important person in that offense. The offense runs through Edelman. Amendola, by the time he came back, took a couple pay cuts, and he became a situational gadget-type guy, trustworthy, confident. You loved him, but he was still making more money than Edelman, and Edelman was doing more. So that doesn't matter. So if you're Edelman, I know you said yesterday that he should somehow hold out and try to, and maybe his case is a little bit stronger now, knowing that they don't have anybody now. And the last guy on their list, which seems to be the last guy on their list, is Golden Tate.
So we had Rappaport earlier had this to say about Golden Tate and his options. Real quick,
well,
before we get
let
to
him
that,
find it.
Yeah, let me
go
say,
ahead.
Ian Rappaport also had this, by the way. The Saints, they just tweeted this out. Saints are signing D tackle Malcolm Brown to a 3-year deal worth $15 million. 3 years, 15. To New Orleans
That's
Saints.
Losing everybody.
So Malcolm Brown is gone, 3 years, 15. Saints add him. But this was Ian Rappaport earlier talking about basically the only wide receiver out there left.
Yeah, one of the top receivers available right now. Obviously, big name guy, traded from the Lions to the Eagles last year. Certainly has a lot of interest. I know a couple teams that were at the least interested in potentially trading for him last year have some interest in him this year. Patriots would be one. The Steelers would be another. At this point, still waiting to find his landing spot, but we've kind of gone to the second wave of free agents now, and no doubt his interest is going to pick up over the next couple days.
So there you go. I mean, they, you know, down to the Steelers, maybe, and Patriots. Steelers signed Moncrief, right?
They did.
And they have
that's
Juju.
That's the guy that I wanted, yeah.
Is the other guy, Washington, Eli Rogers? I don't know.
Jesse James is gone. They don't have Jesse James anymore. He's a Lion now, right? I think so. Yeah, he's a.
So it comes down to Golden Tate. Do they land Golden Tate?
See, I say that Golden Tate, I would normally I would have thought that Golden Tate would have been that older receiver that was going to get underpaid just based on his age. Now, based on the supply and the demand, if the Steelers offer and interest is real, the Patriots are in trouble. Not because they may lose him, but because they're going to have to overpay for him. because they can't afford to lose out on another wide receiver. So far we come to the understanding that they've been in the mix for two different young slot receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Two young guys. They lost out on both of them.
Why?
Well, the answer is, you think Cole Beasley didn't come because
I think Beasley decided to go play for Josh Allen up in Buffalo?
Yeah. He was going to keep number 11. That was important to him.
You think Humphreys would rather be with Mariota down in Tennessee? Or do you think both these guys would rather play with Tom Brady? But they didn't offer enough money. Now they came back and offered more to Humphreys, but it was too late.
The other issue is, I was trying to tie this in, related to the cap and how how based on the amount of money that they have available is restricting them a little bit. They don't have all this space to go sign a bunch of dudes, a bunch of high priced guys.
No, and I'm looking.
They have to be really responsible,
Miguel,
with the money. Yeah,
Pat's cap space. Miguel, he's with Boston Sports Journal now. He always says his Twitter handle always has the number where they're at, and right now he says 12 million. And I say that number means absolutely nothing, because as of yesterday they were trying to sign Adam Humphreys to 4 years, $40 million, 10 per. Now they could have finagled that. I don't know what the cap hit. They could have done different things. But if you're willing to go after Humphreys for 10, then don't give me that they're only at 12, and that's why they're not doing it. Because that makes absolutely no sense. That contradicts itself. Well, they didn't go after Humphreys because they don't have the cap. Well, they did go after Humphreys.
Yeah.
And they offered him 4 years, 40.
Yeah. And the cap, I remember talking to Don Yee at the Super Bowl and talking to him about the cap space, and it's... There's so many different ways to manipulate the cap, and it all comes down to cash. And he went into this long... explanation of what's important, what you need to look at, and I stopped paying attention because that's the way I am. But if they want to sign a guy, they can sign a guy. And there's a bunch of different ways you can do it. You can cut guys, you can extend guys, there's just a bunch of different ways to sign a guy if you really need him. But I think they're in trouble. If one of their biggest off-season goals was to get a wide receiver, because we all know they need one, Edelman's on another one-year deal. Gronk's on his way out. Even if he plays this year, he's on his way out. So you need to completely redo that wide receiver core. Start all over again. Revamp it. Shut it down.
Well, they're trying. They're just not willing to go far enough. And the interesting thing is they're actually trying to replace the only wide receiver they have on this team, and that is Julian Edelman. So it's been a quiet offseason for the New England Patriots, but they did make a splash earlier with Michael Bennett. Like him off the field or not, he's still a pretty good player. Well, they made it official today. Michael Bennett was down in Foxborough, and he actually spoke to a reporter. You'll hear what Michael Bennett had to say right after this.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, it's a quiet free agency period here for the New England Patriots. This is OMF. No Ordway today, just Merloni and Fourier. So you got the MFers. Give us a call, 617-779-7937. But they made a trade during the whole tampering period. They actually made it official here today, but the Patriots acquired Michael Bennett, defensive end Michael Bennett. Kind of the writing on the wall for Trey Flowers, but
talk now.
And a seventh-round pick to the Patriots for a 2020 fifth-round pick, both 2020 picks. Interesting, the Pats, apparently, I'm just looking at the website out in Philly, that they offered a third-round pick for Bennett last year before Seattle traded him to the Eagles.
But Bennett
wide
mentioned
receiver Marcus Johnson in the fifth.
Yeah, Bennett mentioned that the first time he talked, to how they tried to acquire him before this year, obviously. Mm-hmm.
So he was down in Foxborough today and spoke with Megan O'Brien from Patriots.com.
Michael, you've played against the Patriots before in the Super Bowl. You've seen this team from afar. What's it like now that you're here?
I used to hate the Patriots. I used to hate it. I hate it because they win so much. I hate it because Tom Brady's hair was long. Hated that Belichick would wear sweaters. But now I'm here. I love it. I love Tom Brady's hair. I love being a Patriot, obviously, because it's all about winning. I think everything about the organization is about team first. And it's just about, doing what we need to do to get to where we want to go as a group. And I think I love that.
Sounds like everybody else. He hated the Patriots also.
Hated them.
Hated them because Tom is good looking and Bill's really smart and Gronk's really good. And, you know, and that's par for the course.
Yeah, it sounds like just like many guys that come over, right?
Sounds like everyone.
Why would you like the Patriots?
If you're playing against them, why would you? You hate everything about them. You're internally jealous because they just, no matter what happens and no matter what you do, you can't freaking catch up to
them. There's one player I think that I've heard repeatedly actually not trash the Patriots, and it sounds like he respects the Patriots, and that's Von Miller. If you hear Von Miller's talk about the Patriots or Tom Brady,
I tell you what, he was right about Trent Brown. Trent Brown's good. He's big.
Yeah.
He said he was the best tackle in the league, and sure enough, he's getting paid like
it. I feel like he always does.
Trent Brown's big. He's big.
But of course you do. Yeah, you don't like the Patriots, but he didn't like the Patriots, even though his brother Michael, or Martellus rather, was on the team.
So you even hated the Patriots when your brother was on the team?
Yeah, I hated him even more.
Really? What did he tell you about the Patriots?
He loved it. He loved it, but the fact that he loved it made me hate it.
The little brother rivalry?
Yeah, little brother. Then he won, and he was winning. He went from not... I was the brother that was the Super Bowl champ. And then he took that from me. He just took it. Now I got to get it back. And he took that back.
I get it.
So he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So he wins the Super Bowl first. He's riding the bike. Everybody's loving him. Right, and then and Martellus is just leapfrogging from team to team, and never really committing to any. Well, committing, but never lasting. They're always getting rid of him or trading him.
Enjoying a trip to anywhere, right? Obviously, didn't enjoy Dallas. We heard about that. Sounds like he didn't enjoy Green Bay that much. At the end.
Chicago, couldn't wait to get rid of him.
So when he came to New England, you know, Michael was like, "Okay, listen, now that you're there, I hate those guys. Tell me it sucks. Tell me it's all fake.
It's just the opposite.
Tell me that they don't have fun." Remember, they don't have fun. Tell me that it's not a good place. And he's like, no, actually, it's great.
I told my wife, I was like, Tom got a sexy voice.
Ooh, Tom's got a sexy voice. Here's the thing. Tom does not have a sexy voice. Can we just say that?
No.
Okay, you ever hear him when he screams, let's go?
Let's go!
Is that sexy to you?
Let's go! Let's go!
Or, I mean.
His voice is maybe just because you see Tom and you think Tom is sexy, then when he talks, no, I got a sexy voice.
Jesus.
I can go deep. I can go slow.
Wait, God, good God.
I mean,
what
Brady,
was that again?
Brady's voice cracks.
Wait, listen.
The greatest quarterback of all time.
There's our guy.
That's sexy?
There's our leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's
so Michael
Brady.
He's been around. He's asked about joining a new team, what that's like?
The greatest part is the opportunity to get to talk to coaches and see how many coaches admire you from afar and now to have the opportunity.
Wait a minute.
Didn't you expect to be like and learn from all the new coaches?
So basically what he says is he shows up into the building and everyone talks about we could never block you. You were awesome. Thank God you're on our team
now. Hey, coach, tell me how great I was.
Yeah, can you put the film on? Can you do what John Gruden did with Antonio Brown? Can you put my highlights on?
Just a game
Let's
plan.
Let's talk about it for an hour.
Do you game plan to stop me?
It never worked, did
how
it?
How tough was I?
Yeah, you remember that Super Bowl?
How great was
I? I lined up in four different positions, and we were kicking your butt.
Tell me how good I was. Tell me how bad you wanted me. Let me hear more of that. I want to hear more of that one.
The greatest part is the opportunity to get to talk to coaches and see how many coaches admire you from afar, and now to have the opportunity to be able to talk football and just talk about winning and talk about life and just talk about different philosophies that they live by. And I think that's the best part about it, to get a chance to pick all these different coaches' brains about the success they had and the downfalls and what makes a great player and what doesn't make a great player.
Oy, this is going to be tedious. I don't know. He's a great player. I just feel like this may be when the wheels come off.
What do you mean?
This may be when the wheels come off. Yes.
With the team or with this guy?
With just that whole philosophy. Anyone works. Anyone rolls in and they all stay in line. I think I'm leaning towards the Glenn Ordway philosophy that this may be a disaster.
See, I don't think so.
Hey, I want to talk politics. No, I'm not talking politics. No. We said we can talk. I feel like
this
it's
is crap.
When
he comes out and says that I'm really looking forward to sitting down with Bill and Tom, and ask them why they love Donald Trump so much.
You mean Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yes.
First off, I don't see it happening. We know how that's going to go. Bill's just going to be like,
Beat it. No autographs.
Michael, we just We're just dealing with the game.
Worry about third down.
We're worried about, you know, getting together and with your buddy Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
Who you loved in the past.
Work on that relationship.
Let's work on that relationship.
Wait, did they ask him about
Greg? As opposed
to
mine and Trump.
Who asked the questions?
Megan O'Brien.
Did Megan ask about
Schiano? No, this is Patriots.com. I don't think those hard-hitting questions are coming Central. Just yet.
She asked him about Trump?
You know what? I can't find that cut either.
Did she ask him about sitting in the locker room during the anthem?
No, but do you want to hear him talk about how great it is that coaches can tell him how great he is again?
Yes, I would love to.
See how many coaches admire you from afar and not have the opportunity to be able to...
Wait, did she ask him about what happened in Vegas?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned it, Lou. That also did not come up.
No? Did she ask him about what happened in Houston at the Super Bowl?
Yeah. No. Nope. So there really was no... hard-hitting questions. It was just,
about it.
There's a lot of, do you think they'll ever give him a, because really, any radio interviews, do you think there's any chance of us getting him?
None.
Because Trey Flowers is gone.
None.
Who else is gone?
Strictly Amendola's because of that. Gone. Because they know, because you know as well as I do, whoever it is, interview, this is what they're going to ask, this is the way it's going to be, they're going to come out with this, come out with that. If he jumps on the radio, we're going to ask him about Vegas.
And
we're
going to
ask him about Houston. We're going to ask him about the anthem.
I think that's where he may get into some trouble.
We're going to ask him about the book he wrote.
So they tell him
what makes people uncomfortable.
I'll get us some copies.
You know, they're going to we should probably read that first just to make sure we're up to date on all and get the right information.
I'm in.
So I think it's going to be easy to bait him into talking about it.
But now I'm here. I love you. I love Tom Brady's here. I love being a Patriot.
I have a heart. He will not do one radio interview. Not one. Because that's the first thing I'm going to ask him.
Well, that's probably the first thing.
I'm going to try and set up. Be like, hey, I thought you were good also.
That
would be Glenn.
That's exactly
a conversation.
Like, hey, yeah, you know, how's that case going in Houston? Because that's the interesting stuff. Yeah. That's what I want to know about.
Yeah.
Speak your mind.
What happened to that lawsuit against the Vegas police? Is that still open or did you drop that? What's up? When's the hearing? How did the hearing go down in Houston?
Shut up!
Are you still
when those charges come up?
Are you still angry at the Las Vegas Police Department for racially profiling you and telling you to get down in where an active shooter was going crazy in a club?
See how many coaches admire you from afar.
That's what I want. That's really. I would also love. Listen, can we talk politics? I will put my Jerry Callahan hat on, and I will dive into politics with you. That would be great. Can you be the fourth man in? A third man in. I'm sure Glenn won't be here because I'm sure he'll still be suffering from something.
Oh, that's crossing
the line. I think they are in danger because I don't know if Martellus Bennett, just based on observing him from afar, is as aggressive as his brother.
I'm rubber and you're glue. Anything you say bounces off of me and sticks it back to you.
When it comes to that, I think he's going to be more of a problem. So he's saying all the right things.
Michael Bennett's first tweet is a Patriot. Tweet a picture of himself. Looks like number 77.
It's a lineman number, but okay.
He said, I just want to win, 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 no matter what.
That's a song. You know that, right?
Yeah. I just want to, yeah. Ready to learn from Yoda, a.k.a. Belichick, and Obi-Wan Kenobi, a.k.a. Tom Brady. Can't forget
Star Wars
Lando, a.k.a. the McCourty twins at the Patriots.
Wait, can't forget Lando.
Yeah,
Lando Calrissian?
Yes.
There's not two Landos in the movie, though, right?
Well, he would have to be
Boba Fett.
I think he's talking about Devin. I don't think he's, maybe he'll learn from
Boba
Jason.
Boba Fett's a bad guy, though,
yeah,
Christian.
But Boba Fett's, they cloned him. Didn't they clone Boba Fett?
Can we
Fett?
Get the midday guys back here to talk about this? Because, I don't know.
I thought they cloned Boba Fett.
So, yeah, Michael Bennett spoke today, first time as a Patriot, talked about how he can't wait for to meet with Belichick and just tell him how great he was. You know, just can't wait to win.
He wants to kiss the ring. Yeah. So does he say...
he hated the Patriots. Now he loves the Patriots.
You even hated the Patriots when your brother was on the team.
Yeah, I hated him even more.
Hated him even more when his brother was there.
I just want to go back to this because we mentioned it briefly. So Malcolm Brown signed a three-year deal worth $15 million.
The Saints.
With the Saints. Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a guy that left that I don't think anyone will even notice that he's gone?
Or care?
I hate to be disrespectful, but the fact that he's gone, there's one guy you draft. He really, now I'm not gonna say he didn't do his job, but to quote the great Mike Mayock, he didn't pop ever, ever.
I don't care.
So he's gone. It's just they're losing a lot of guys, and this is the one guy that I don't think anyone will ever miss. Not that he's not a bad guy, good dude, but he just I don't know. Do you think there's no Vince Wilfork? I know that's hard to be, but so, that's kind of what they were looking for.
He's gone, right? Shelton obviously didn't work either.
No.
Dominican Sue is still out there. Can I just get something?
Let me say yes.
Can I just throw something? Just throw me a bone. This is the thing. Like, Patriot fans, I get it. I understand. You could sit there all day and say, this is not how they do it. I think they know what they're doing. I fully understand. However, I will also throw back in your face that they just tried to give 4 years, $40 million to a slot receiver. All right? And Adam Humphries. I would also say that they tried to get, you know, Cole Beasley. That's all I'm looking for. I want Golden Tate. I'll take Dominican Sue. You know, I know last year was a one-year, $10 million deal out in L.A. Hey, man, okay, jump on over here. That would kind of help out the defensive line a little bit, wouldn't it? Dominican Sue, Martellus, I mean, Michael Bennett? Because we know, Belichick, he's playing favorites. It's all about his defense.
Yeah, he looks it's all at about spending the money on the defense.
Looks at his offense and says, Josh, Tom, good luck. Go get it. Figure this thing out. But I'm going to shore up my defense. I'm going to pay these guys. I'm going to trade for these guys. Dominican Sue would be nice. And I know what kind of guy he is, and I don't care. I know what kind of guy Michael Bennett is.
That would be, let's make this interesting. Because the AFC East is becoming more interesting, the more players that sign. But here's, and I almost feel, you know, I'm even as I'm saying that, I'm like, is that just a smokescreen? It's like, yeah, every team is interesting during free agency, the first couple days of free agency, the first 2 weeks of free agency. Teams become interesting. Cole Beasley, Josh Allen, can they make it work? All those old running backs that they have from Frank Gore. The Cleveland Browns and the AFC North, are they Super Bowl contenders now? They're the next team. They're the Jacksonville Jaguars now, basically, in my book. Did a great job of rebuilding that program, attaining a lot of draft capital, hitting in the draft.
We're building something special.
And then now what can you do with it? You got a new coach, got a new attitude, and everybody believes you can win.
Don't you look at Freddie Kitchen right now and just say, who?
Have you realized what you've gotten yourself into?
What?
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not nearly as worried about that situation as
I
would be any other guy.
Why?
Because the craziest guys that they have are their two wide receivers, and they have their college receiver coach is the receiver coach for Cleveland.
Yes.
That, to me, is a win.
Do you think anything's changed since that college wide receiver coach at LSU now has them as members of the Cleveland Browns? You think that when they were 18, 19 years old, do you think anything has changed now with these two?
Well, I think a lot has changed, but I do believe that there's a respect level that exists between them still to this day?
I do, but I think they look at him and say, listen, at LSU, you were a coach. And at the Cleveland Browns,
we're
now professionals making more money than you,
okay,
coach.
Okay, so Hard Knocks, the Cleveland Browns were on Hard Knocks. And you remember when was it Jarvis Landry, like the very first episode, had this conniption fit and started yelling and screaming and talking about being better and being better? That was his receiver coach that was in that room allowing him to do that. Now granted, it didn't work out in the end, but he's allowing them to be themselves.
See, my thing is that Freddie Kitchens doesn't survive, and they put too good of a team around him. Remember we were talking about Green Bay job opening? You know, Josh McDaniels, do you want to go there? Well, if you go to Green Bay, you got to win right now. You know, you got to win 12 games. You got to win the division. You got to go to the NFC title game. You got Aaron Rodgers. You know, if he takes the Cleveland job back then, he sat there and said, now they're building something. He could go there with this great offense. He's got a young quarterback, you know, and fight for a playoff spot. And if they make it, people will be happy. And then you keep going. Freddie Kitchen just looked at John Dorsey and just said, you just made my team too good.
Too much is expected of me. No, I agree.
If I'm not in the AFC title game, you're going to fire me, aren't you? Because if Cleveland...
Oh, well, Baker Mayfield will have him fired, even though they're buddies.
Who wins the AFC North in your mind? Who should win the AFC North?
Well, I'm going to go with... Here's the thing.
Cleveland.
It should be Cleveland.
Watch out for the Ravens.
It should be Cleveland.
Should absolutely be Cleveland. Yes.
Unless you think... they just can't build on what they started last year.
Cleveland!
Even though every single offensive play, remember, they still have Kareem Hunt. We don't know when
he's coming back.
But eventually he's going to play, and no one's even going to think twice about what he did
Freddie
to get himself suspended.
Quarterback coach, right? Was an offensive coordinator, bumped up to offensive coordinator, has now taken over a team that's expected to win the division. That, quite frankly, a lot of people maybe think that they should be in the AFC title game. No, I still think it's Kansas City.
Unless people are just punting on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I still think Kansas City's your biggest threat, you know, in the AFC because of Mahomes. And I know they've lost some guys defensively, but, you know, Barry's out, Matthew is in, Honey Badger's in. They lost D4. They're going to lose Justin Houston. But I still look at that team and say, yep, Patriots and Chiefs. But then I say the Browns. So this coach, Gary Kitchens, just said, John, man, you just made my team too good. Now I have to win.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's ready to win.
They're going to win. They're going to win. Good luck stopping them. Unless Baker Mayfield just does a full Robert Griffin III in his second year, just sucks. If that's the case, well, you're screwed. Doesn't matter who you are
right.
Or who you have.
All right, 617-779-7937. It's OMF, no Ordway. It's the MFers. Going back on that theme there, you're looking at the Browns. You're looking at the Chiefs. You're looking at what teams did in the AFC East. Any of these teams a threat to the New England Patriots in the division? Who is the biggest threat in the AFC? We'll talk about that next right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.